Wait on the Lord.
The lesson this afternoon is found on the first scripture text in your program, Wait on the Lord. And this is in the 27th Psalm, Psalm of David, one who was a man after God's own heart. And he said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And though an host should encamp round against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." And as Brother Marshall has reminded us, for 35 years we've been meeting here at the Sylamar, waiting on the Lord. And it's been a wonderful feeding of fellowship each year that we do come together. And this subject of waiting is perhaps an experience that we've all gone through. Those of us who are a parent, have you ever asked your children to do something and wait just a minute? The minutes go on and you're still not done. Wait. Or have you ever gone to a doctor's office, had an appointment at, say, 10 o'clock in the morning, want to be there early so as to not miss the appointment? 10 o'clock comes, 10:15, 10:30, here you are still sitting there. I found out that's why they call it a waiting room. And that's why a doctor has many patients. And so it is that we find that we must learn patience. And that's why the Lord instructs us in Luke 21:19, "In your patience possess ye your souls." And Paul says, "Ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." And then James also tells us, "Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Yes, patience is a virtue, and it's something that the disciples also needed to have developed, even way back there in the days of our Lord. Remember, it was after his resurrection that they were assembled together. This is found in the first chapter of Acts, fourth verse. And the Lord commanded them that they would not depart out of Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. They were to wait. But you know, there was something that they had been waiting for a long time. They were been under the subjection of Rome, and they would like to have the kingdom set up right now. And so they asked him when they came together. They said, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" They had waited long enough. They needed it now. We need the kingdom now too, don't we? But we're told to wait. Because he says, it's said unto them and to us, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall know." Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. We have come down to the end of this gospel age. Church has been waiting for the kingdom. And we see the signs of his presence. We see the signs of the times. But still, we need to have patience. And this is one of the graces of character that must be developed in each of us as we wait upon the Lord. But this grace of patience must be preceded by faith. Faith in the Word of God, faith in His promises, and in the providential overruling in all our lives. And then we would await for the fulfillment of those promises that have been given to us. David was one who had much experience in waiting upon the Lord, and especially when he was in distress. In the 130th Psalm, he tells us in the first verse, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope." David hoped in the promises of God, and we hope. We're called in the one hope of our calling, and what a wonderful hope that is. The hope to be with our Lord and the Heavenly Father, live and reign with him in that kingdom for which we all pray, thy kingdom come. And as we wait and hope, we develop patience. And it's as David also tells us in the 62nd Psalm, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God, for him cometh, for of him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is my God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." In our text, the 27th Psalm, David was sure that the Lord was his light, for his promises were yea and amen. And in him was no variableness nor shadow of turning. And he was confident in God's goodness, and through his strength was protection from evil. He had learned much, as he previously had stated in this 27th Psalm, "One thing have I desired of thee." That will I seek after. And what was it? "That I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." Dwelling in the house of the Lord. That's what he sought after. That's what he hoped for. And why? "That he might behold the beauty of the Lord." And to inquire into his temple. To inquire, yes. To be encouraged in the things that he learned when he was in the house of the Lord. He said he was his strength. And this strength that he received was not only strength or protection, it was a protection. The word strength comes from a Hebrew word which means a fortified place or a defense. In Jeremiah, the word is stronghold. He is our stronghold. He is our fortress. And David also said that even though his parents would forsake him, he knew that the Lord would not forsake him. For he says in the 10th verse, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Yes, it is because of this experience that he entreated Saul to permit him to fight against the Philistines. And you recall the account in 1 Samuel, 17th chapter. We're not going to go into too much of that. But you recall how the Philistines had surrounded the camp of the Israelites. And here came this giant Goliath out to meet them. Must have been a big man. Said he was 6 cubits tall. That was about 9.5 feet high. And he had a large spear. It was like a weaver's beam. And on the head of that spear was a great spear. On the head of that shaft was this spear, which weighed about 18 pounds. He had on his body this coat, which weighed about 157 pounds, a tremendous weight, but he was a big man. And here the enemies of Israel were about to overwhelm them. But David came along, and you recall, he said, I'll go out and fight this Saul. Well, David waited upon the Lord. Saul said, but you're but a man. But he entreated him, and he gave him the go-ahead. And so he put on his coat of armor and all that sort of thing. But David had not tried these out. Young fellow, about 18 years old. And so he took this armor off, but he used something from the Lord. And remember, he took the pebble from the brook, put it in his bag, and you know the story. Anyway, it was because of this that David could confidently say that the Lord was his strength. It was the Lord upon whom he was relying for deliverance. And so that was that he said in this 27th Psalm, one thing have I desired of thee, that I will wait upon the Lord. At the beginning of this psalm, he also expresses a great love and desire, affection for God. He desired that he might inquire in this temple, think of his goodness and his mercy, to consider the mighty acts of God. Another reason for his security was because he had waited on the Lord even in the time of trouble. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. We've all heard about the time of trouble. I remember as a child growing up, sitting around the dinner table, we'd hear about the time of trouble. Must have been a difficult time because sometimes the folks didn't even know where the next potato was coming from. But you know. But we realize that the Lord was our strength, even in this time of trouble. We hear about it even today. Sometimes we talk too much about the time of trouble, but we realize that it's because of this experience that the world is going through that soon the kingdom is to be established. And that's why he said in the 40th Psalm, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and he hath put a new song in my mouth. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? To have our feet set upon the rock. In the 18th Psalm, in the first two verses, he says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Yes, and we realize who that rock was. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, and that rock was Christ. David's exhortation to us that we would consider his example, and in our difficulties, he encouraged us to be courageous, put our trust in him, even as he says in our text, the 14th verse, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. In times past, there have been others who have waited. Remember, Abraham waited for 25 years for the promised seed to come after the promise had been given. And then remember Isaac, he also had to wait. Remember he waited for Rebekah as a wife. It was quite a long wait. But you remember Jacob, how he had to wait. He waited for Rachel, waited 7 years, found out that he didn't have Rachel, he had Leah. But then he had to wait another 7 years for Rachel. 14 years he waited. But he finally got his bride. And then Joseph, remember how he had to wait? 2 years in prison to be delivered and become the right hand of Pharaoh. Yes, Moses waited for 40 years to get to the promised land. He never did get there. But he saw it from afar off. Have you ever thought that God waited? Yes, God waited. In 1 Peter, we read a text, the 3rd chapter. 1 Peter 3:18. 3:18, but for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit. By which also he preached to the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient when the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. Yes, God waited in the days of Noah. And you remember how Noah waited. Noah waited for a long time. In the 5th chapter of Genesis, We read that he was told that there was going to be this great flood that would come upon the earth. And the flood didn't come, but he started to build the ark. He was 500 years old when Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And we should imagine that they were perhaps 18 or 20 by the time that Noah really put them to work. But it was not until the year 600 of Noah's life, 80 years later, that he had been building this ark. 80 years of hearing the jeering of those about, saying, "Where's the flood? God promised you a flood, Noah? No flood." Think of the patience of Noah. Not only the patience of Job, but Noah had lots of patience. And then after the flood, after he entered the ark, no flood. For 7 days he waited. Where's the flood? But finally it came. And it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Flood was upon the earth. And you should imagine the time of trouble that was then. It was a time of trouble that they had never had before. And don't you imagine that perhaps that after entering the ark, even his family might have started to complain a bit? Because when are we going to get out of this trouble? But it wasn't until a year and 50-some days later that they finally emerged from the ark. Yes, they had waited. They had gone from one age to another, from one time of trouble into the new world. And brethren, we're in the ark too. We're in a time of trouble. It's not such as never has been. We think that that time of trouble is yet to come. We are in a time of trouble, there's no doubt about that. But unless it were stopped, there would be no flesh saved, and that has not yet come. Because we know that this great time of trouble is being held back until the servants of God are sealed in their forehead. You read that from Revelation 7. And once the church is completed, the great storm of trouble, such as never was, will engulf the world and take it away. Yes. Noah waited. He wasn't told how long he was going to be in the ark. He didn't know how long he was going to be confined to the close quarters. Difficult task. Has the Lord told us how long the storm of trouble will be? No. And yet, in a way, he has, because he tells us that it will stop in his own due time. And how do we know? Because it will be stopped by the very elect. Remember also, God remembered Noah. He hadn't forgotten him, although he was in the ark, bobbing around on this great storm, this trouble in the earth. And the Lord hadn't forgotten us. But God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters were assuaged. This wind caused the flood to cease. And then he goes on to say, and the waters returned from off the earth continually, And after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountain of Ararat. Sometimes we think we talk about the Mount Ararat. It wasn't just one mount. It was the whole chain of mountains, the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month, in the 10th month, on the first day of the month, where the tops of the mountains were seen. Noah waited patiently. And it was by faith that he relied upon the word of God. Jesus, of course, gives us a very brief account of this in Matthew, the 24th chapter, beginning in the 37th verse, where he says, 24:37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a chicken gathers her chicks under her wings, but ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. This was to the nation of Israel. That was a time of trouble. But they didn't realize how long that trouble was to last. But in the 24th chapter, 37th verse, reading from the 23rd, but as in the days of Noah, so shall the presence of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not, until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. There's one thing back there that is just like it is today. Oh, they're eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. But what is it? They knew not until the flood came and took them all away. And the world knows not today. But you know, and I know, that this is soon to cease. Many are ignorant of this fact. In 2 Peter, the apostle tells us, 2 Peter 3:1-7, we're not going to read the whole thing. But in the fourth verse, he says, saying, where is the promise of his presence? All things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of. They're willingly ignorant. They will not see. Do you see it? Yeah. Why? Through the eye of faith. And through the signs of the time, through the evidences of his presence. But there are those that are willingly ignorant. They will not see it. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and by the water, in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Yes, he likens today with the days of Noah. For those who are in the ark, riding upon the stormy, turbulent, restless sea, can with the psalmist be comforted by the words that he tells us in the 46th Psalm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, though there is a time of trouble, we will not fear. For he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The Apostle Peter, again speaking to us in the second epistle and the third chapter, the 14th verse. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account the long suffering of our Lord as salvation, even as our beloved Paul also accorded to the wisdom given unto him, as written unto you. Yes, be diligent that we be found of him in peace, without spot, waiting upon the Lord. Realizing that our Lord is salvation. Yes, and as Noah waited for over a year, we mentioned, he knew that he must have inquired often of the Lord, and I think that we perhaps inquire also. And now, Lord, what wait I for? And David's answer is, in the Psalms, my hope is in thee. Our hope truly is in the promises of God. For we know that the vision is yet for an appointed time, and though it tarry, we shall wait for it. And just as surely as the dove returned with the olive branch, we know that we shall be delivered and peace will come to the troubled world. For the whole world groans and travails in pain, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And as Peter also tells us, that seeing that these things shall all be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen.